Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women, Ann Fagan and Harold Kimball interviewing Stanley Orenheim on April 1st, 1987, tape 2, side 3. Back to you, Mr. Orenheim. You were telling us about the various interests within your company, and you had just finished talking about the appraisal aspect of the business, and then went on to talk a bit about the Lower Hill properties and the work that you did in that appraisal. Are there any other areas of real estate that you want to talk about before we move on? Or growth of your firm in any particular directions?
I had referred earlier to the sale of investment property.
Yes.
And we were involved in the sale of a number of those buildings, including the Grogan building, which was torn down, and the Heron building, which has since been torn down. We sold the Jones Law building on 3rd Avenue and Ross Street.
And that was torn down, right?
It's now the jail. It wasn't torn down.
Oh, really?
It was remodeled into the new jail. And we sold the Martin building over on the north side. And a number of other investment properties. Which was, to me, fascinating to find people who had earned money and were looking for places to invest it, who rely on your judgment and your recommendation. And of course, most every time we sold it, we picked up a new management account, which always fascinated me. We sold the Ambassador Apartments and got the management of that. It was just very exciting, very interesting form of real estate. We got out of although I really started selling single family houses and built that department up, it wasn't appealing to me because the salespeople that you had to hire were always quarreling among themselves as to whose customer somebody was or whether or not after somebody had sold a house, another salesman said, well, that was my customer. And he had to sit there and arbitrate fights. So, and more and more women were coming into the business. And I found them more difficult to handle as salespeople. I guess that's chauvinistic. But anyhow, I did, and I decided, the heck with that. Eventually, we got out of it so that we no longer sell, manage, or appraise the single-family houses that really got me going in this business.
You must have some interesting perspectives on the renaissance in the city, the changing landscape of the city through real estate. Would you like to comment on that?
I've been involved in so many of these portions of it through various functions. It started, as I said, when I was with the employed by the Urban Redevelopment Authority to appraise the properties in the Lower Hill.
Was that under Mayor Lawrence? Was it he who was involved with that?
Yes, Mayor Lawrence started it, and then Mayor Barr. I guess I did more under Barr's administration than I did under Lawrence's. But having completed that, and having been complimented by the Urban Redevelopment Authority that I was their favorite appraisal firm, despite the fact that when they hired me, I had absolutely no experience in it at all, I was then given the assignment to acquire all the real estate that was part of the Bluff Street acquisition, the area up around Duquesne University, So that while my first assignment involved making appraisals on which somebody else did the buying, this time somebody else did the appraising, and on that basis I bought the properties. Then I was involved in appraising all of the property that constituted the Allegheny Center development, and that involved all the old historic homes, theaters, churches, post offices, and just all sorts of things that constitute that area.
Did you have some aesthetic difficulties with the loss of some of those old buildings?
Yes, I did. That's interesting you would ask, because I can remember some of the old houses that were absolutely in elegant shape, charming, and beautiful in every way, that were over by the park. And it really hurt me to see that these were being torn down for some alternate use. And I can recall going back to them and saying, can't you change your plans to retain this? This is an important part of Pittsburgh. And the values are there to support them and will undoubtedly increase as you revitalize the rest of the area, but I was not successful in persuading them to do that. I represented Boggs and Buell, really the Buell Foundation, who at that point owned Boggs and Buell, when that was being torn down and changed. And first I represented them in leasing the thing, which was a very difficult thing, because by that time what was once the carriage trade business had faltered and gone down and never could get it brought back. But then, again, saying about the changes in the city and my participation in it, after having appraised everything in the Allegheny Center area, those properties were then bought up by a fellow by the name of Kitchen, Lewis Kitchen from Kansas City, who, after he got involved in the thing, realized he couldn't make a go of it, and he sold it to Alcoa. And Alcoa came to me and asked me if I would serve as their real estate consultant in advising them on what to put up there. And true to form, I told them, why would they come to me? There had to be people who had greater experience in feasibility studies than I. And they said, we came to you because of your reputation, and we trust you, and we want you to do this. And again, I bit my nails, not ever having had such an important assignment before, and made inquiry around about what to do and how to do it. And the bank said, okay, I'll do it. And I did it. And it was very interesting, because they had, for instance, had retained the firm of Dieter Ritchie. I can't think of the name of the firm. It's a very famous local architectural firm. Mm. Who had designed their apartment. They had the whole plans and everything else. Yeah. And I said, this will never fly. And I made them tear the drawings up and start all over again. And, you know, here's a fresh young guy who'd never done anything like this before.
And that's Allegheny Center you're talking
about. That's right.
With the apartments.
That's right.
The whole bit.
That's right. And then when I got through, we conducted a merchandising survey to find out where this thing would fly and what rents people would pay, and the attitude of a tremendous amount of people was that nothing over in that north side will go, that people wouldn't go there with children, that this thing couldn't possibly fly. But I didn't believe that, and I told them the kind of stuff to design that would appeal to people, told them the kind of single-family houses to develop around the fringe of it, which they didn't listen to, and they built the wrong things, and they didn't succeed in that phase. But they retained us to lease the first apartments that they built, having told them what to build and what to charge. They said, okay, now rent it. And so I did. I organized the staff, and we rented the whole thing. When we got all through, I asked for the management of it. That I didn't get. And that broke my heart.
Are you talking about the shopping center?
No.
Or just the living quarters?
The living quarters. I was not involved
in the
shopping center, other than the original appraisal of the land, handled their tax appeals. They asked me to explore the development of the air rights, and I didn't know anything about air rights, and I told them I didn't know anything about air rights, but I'd bring somebody else in that did, and I got a firm by the name of Landauer in New York, brought him here, and I worked with them, and I learned about air rights from that. I watched that whole thing. It's a tremendous part of the city. A major, major change. Then I was involved in acquiring the land and for appraising the property in the area that makes up the Three Rivers Stadium. And I had to go in there and visit all those houses and determine what their values were. So I saw that change, and that's significant. There just have been so many changes. In the south side, and there isn't a part of the city that, with all these changes, that we haven't been involved in one capacity or other.
We're not, you're spoiling us.
Do you?
Those are my, I made those.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit.
That's on tape, and that's going to stay on tape.
Before we talk about some of your other skills, what do you project for the city? Where do you see Pittsburgh going? Are you depressed by the economic slowdown? Kind of future do you see for Pittsburgh?
I wish that I were more optimistic than I am. I think that there have been some terrible blows that this city has suffered. And I don't know how we're going to make them back. First of all, we've seen the loss of some of the major firms for which we were so famous. We were the third largest corporate headquarters in the country. Pittsburgh enjoyed that reputation. Now, we've seen Gulf Oil leave, J&M, and others, and I don't see any likelihood of their replacement. Now they're going through this business of selling off parts of firms, buying them and selling off segments of them, and that's hurting us. Our population is continuously diminishing. Young people are moving out of the city, which they've been doing for a number of years. We've built a lot of magnificent new office buildings. And that's exciting. And physically, I think we're a splendid, splendid city as a result of all these changes. But all these new office buildings that they keep putting up aren't filling up as fast as they felt that they would. They hadn't any reason to believe that they would do what they anticipated, because there was nothing to support those thoughts. And here we are today with a vacancy factor in the downtown office buildings, which has to be at least 15%. You never can be really precise because you don't always get truthful responses to surveys. But I think it's safe to say that the vacancy factor is at least 15%, and you can't make money in office buildings with a 15% vacancy factor. You can't make it at more than 10%, and probably only if it's less than 10%. For years, we knew nothing but 98%. And so it was ripe for new building, but once they started, they never stopped. And even with this factor, they're still building new ones. Just the other day, they had articles in the paper about building three new 35-story office buildings on the north side over by the stadium and having a people mover, a gizmo that would convey people over the river in whatever form of people movers this might take. Well, this city couldn't take three new 35-story office buildings now or in the next 10 years. And I don't know when this is all going to stop. One of the reasons that it may stop is because they've changed the income tax laws, and they no longer have the tax write-offs that were available, so that'll slow things down. As long as the banks have money to lend and people able to borrow it, they seem to keep on doing so, putting up these tremendous buildings with nobody in them. So I would think, I would hope that the present tendency to bring high-tech industry in here, the establishment of this as a computer headquarters, the efforts to make this a robot center, which showed its head and then has not done very much since. There are all sorts of these other side things that could prove that my concerns are wrong and would save the city. But something has to be done to attract business to Pittsburgh. In my judgment, it's going down. You could never find a store for rent in downtown Pittsburgh. We got awfully good rents in the retail stores on Fifth Avenue and Wood Street and Smithfield and those other places. You walk down there today and you can see more for rent signs than you've seen in at least, in my opinion, at least 25 or 30 years.
Well, what kind of miracle can happen to turn things around when we've just lost Gimbel's here? And as you say, there's so many vacancies that I see. I'm in town an awful lot.
I'm not smart enough to answer.
You're pleading the fifth.
I truly don't know beyond what I've just said, that they've got to find other things like the high-tech, the computer-oriented, robot-oriented businesses. This was supposed also to be the transportation headquarters of the country. That hasn't materialized.
If there were a young Stanley Orhan who wanted to go into real estate now, a young man just starting out, I think you're suggesting Pittsburgh would not be the place. Are there other areas of the country that you think would be better choices?
I suppose there are. If I had to do it all over again, however, I'd still do it in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Because I know Pittsburgh, it's comfortable in Pittsburgh, and it's a marvelous city. And you could make money successfully and properly in Pittsburgh if you started out today. The only thing I'd do differently from a personal standpoint is I'd stick to the investment property, and you can still sell investment property even with the changes in the tax laws.
That sounds good. I think we're ready to move on to some other areas then. Particularly, we need to go back and talk about how you met your wife and the courtship and marriage and your family.
Well, the story of how I met my wife is very fascinating. I told you I lived on Denison Avenue in a row house. There were four rows, each containing six units that extend from Aylesboro on up towards Forbes. And I lived on the end house in one row. And my wife was visiting a friend of hers, the Kalish family, K-A-L-I-S-H. And they lived in the corresponding house in the row below. And my wife had a date with a young man who took her out and brought her home at an hour, which would vary whether you ask me or ask Claire what it was. But in any event, when he brought her to the door, she went to put her key in the door and found that it was open. So she said goodnight and went in, went upstairs into the bedroom where her friend Jean Kalish was supposed to be. And after she was in the room for a little while, she realized nothing seemed familiar. And suddenly a voice from the bed said, "Is that you, Ruth?" And Claire didn't know any Ruth. So she said, "Oh," she said, "isn't this Kalish's?" And the voice, which was my mother's voice, said, "No, this is Arnine's." She said, "I'm in the wrong house." So my mother got out of bed and said, "Well, I knew your mother." And one thing the other took her down, showed her how to get to the right house. I wasn't home at that time. I had a little cottage up in the woods in Gibsonia. When I came home and heard this story, I couldn't believe it, and I went down to Kalish to meet this crazy girl who had walked into the wrong house at the wee hours of the morning. That's how I met my wife.
That's a wonderful story. We don't know Claire's maiden name.
Claire's name was Bildeck, B-E-I-L-D-E-C-K, and she was from Philadelphia. Her mother's name was Belle Rosenbaum, and her father's name was Arthur Bildeck.
And she was just visiting in Pittsburgh at the time?
That's correct.
Well, that was really fated then, wasn't it?
I've always been convinced of that. That was never any question in my mind that we were intended for each other.
You were married when? In Philadelphia?
August 2nd, 1940, in Pittsburgh, at Road of Shoal Temple. I was so nervous that I offered Claire that Kiddish cup, drink of wine. I almost spilled it down her dress.
Where did you live after you were married?
We lived very, very briefly with my mother in the Ambassador apartment, but we found an apartment on the third floor of a house not very far from where we are tonight, at 400 South Linden Avenue, a home that really wasn't such a much, but it was a big old house, and it had this big third floor that they wanted $60 a month to rent. And I told them if they'd give it to me for $40 a month, I would do all the redecorating that it needed, which it needed tremendously. So I went out and schnored wallpaper from firms that had done business with me in management, and I got building personnel to do things for me at modest cost. And that's where we lived, but on this little third floor apartment. I'm sure that Claire's family were convinced that she had sold herself into degradation. we were too dumb to know it ourselves. We had stars in our eyes, and this was just great. And we just had a wonderful time, and we stayed there until I bought a house. The first house I bought was on 14 Dunmoyle Place, off South Negley Avenue, right at the top of Negley Hill, which
what
I bought for
place.
$5,800.
This was when, approximately?
1942. Mm.
That's still a gorgeous street, isn't it?
Yes. Subsequently.
View, beautiful view, isn't it?
We fixed it all up and resold it for $18,500. And then people that we sold it to had us resell it for them. We sold it for something like $21,000 or $1,000. So on. It's now occupied by a Dr. George, Robert George.
When Claire was in Philadelphia, was she working at the time that you were married?
Yes, she worked for the equivalent of the United Fund. In the Fidelity Philadelphia building. And I would drive down to Philadelphia from Pittsburgh before the turnpike. Yeah. And I remember once doing it in 6 hours. How I ever did it, I don't know what I did.
Still with stars in your eyes.
Oh, of course.
Tell us about your family.
We have three children. Stuart is the oldest, S-T-U-A-R-T. And Nancy is the second. And Donald is the third. They're all married. Each have two children. And up until this year, all lived so close to me that I could walk to see each of them. I think I've been the subject of envy of an awful lot of people that I have three children and have them all living in the city of Pittsburgh and all within walking distance. Mm-hmm. Donald has since moved to Mount Lebanon, which broke my heart, but he's very happy there.
Good. Did any of the children choose to go into the real estate business?
Yes, Stuart was the first. He'd been in the real estate operations since he left college and is now the executive vice president of the firm. Donald, who had prepared himself for the theater and then decided that he didn't want that,
as an actor or as a technical person?
He did acting, but he wanted to be a playwright. Yeah. And he went to the University of California in Davis for that. And called me up one day and said he wanted to know whether I'd mind if he dropped out of graduate school and went into something else. I was so delighted. But, although I didn't let him know it, challenged him on it, but when he was convinced he wanted to do it, I didn't play too hard to get. But he decided he did not want to come home. He wanted to go into business out there, although he didn't know what. So he had himself tested and found he was good for insurance. So he went in the life insurance business out there. Then when the young lady who ran my insurance department decided that she wanted to retire, I just happened to mention it to him, and to my amazement, he said, would you like me to come home and run your insurance department? So I did, and he did, and he's just been a tremendous success with it and built it far beyond my wildest imagination, and has, as of last April, I sold him the department, and he's now on his own, so we no longer are in the insurance business.
And Nancy?
Nancy? Mm-hmm. Nancy worked at the office only on occasion as a substitute. Nancy's married to Bob Rosenthal, an engineer. She's employed in a very fine position at Carnegie Mellon University in the industrial management field, and in a department that has a great deal to do with computers. And, she's doing a great job. I've got three wonderful children. They've never given us a bit of problem, and they've all been successful on their own.
That's a lovely commentary.
He had a terrible problem stammering.
Really?
He couldn't say his name. He couldn't say, "I'm Donald Arnold." Just terrible. But it never carried over into his theatrical thing. As long, even when he was a little kid, he would play with marionettes. And he would never stammer under those circumstances. Today, he speaks in public.
That's good.
As you say, he just was invited by the Institute of Real Estate Management to address them on insurance in San Diego. Mm. And Stewart introduced him.
That's quite a coup.
Just shows you. Boy Scouting.
We've been talking about your family and their accomplishments, and related to your family are your extracurricular interests. One of them, we've been told, is your interest in scouting. Would you like to tell us about how it began and why it's so important to you?
I guess scouting is really one of the most important things that happened to me in my life.